good evening and welcome to the NFL Draft. Tonight, we officially welcome the next generation of players. So if you're ready, are you ready? Let's get it started. The NFL Draft is officially open.
The Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I am Trevor Sikkema. With me, as always, is Benjamin Solak. It's a Thursday edition in Summer Scouting, so you guys know what that means. That means it is Top 5 Day. You guys have heard Ben and I read off our scouting notes, give you our thoughts of the running back class as they enter into the 2021 college football season for the 2022 NFL Draft. We've talked about 12, 13, 14 guys. Can't remember exactly how many we had. Ben had a couple more than I did, and I actually watched Tyler Batty, and Ben didn't get eyes on him. So it's somewhere between 12 to 14 running backs that we have watched so far for this class, and now we're going to give you our top five. We're going to give you the best that we have from this group, the guys going into this season who we're really excited about as potential maybe even round one players. I know, crazy running backs.
Wow.
One? No way. We're going to get to whether or not that we have a first-round running back in this class. But Ben, before we get to that list, how are you, my friend?
Everything is delicious. I hated ranking these guys. It was too hard. I don't want to do it ever again, and I will never. Thank you.
I felt like there was a line drop-off. And
I have a clear tier one and a clear tier two.
How deep is your tier one?
Two players.
Okay. How deep is your tier two?
More than three players.
Okay.
I don't know how to order them within tier two.
I can see what you're saying with the tiers, and I don't totally disagree with you, but the way that I have this group, there are four guys that I am very, very comfortable talking about, justifying in a top five, and then I did not know who to put at five, really.
Oh, I didn't have that problem. I felt good with who I got.
Wait, what do you mean you didn't have that problem? You said that your second tier was more than three.
I feel very strongly that the guys that I have in the top five belong in the top five conversation. The order I have them in is despicable and wrong, A. And B, I also do feel like I potentially left out a player who should have been in this conversation as well.
Do you remember the question that you asked me at the end of the podcast yesterday that you're asking me?
Yes. I'm going to ask it. Well, yeah. Do you want me to ask it to you now or later?
I can't remember what the question was. So I don't remember if it's more advantageous for you to ask it now or later.
The question was this. It was there are three running backs selected in the top like 40 next year. It's Breece Hall, Isaiah Spiller, and then someone we watched on Wednesday on day three, which was Zamir White, Zonovan Knight, Sincere McCormick, Kevin Harris, Jerron Ealy, Tyler Algier, Muhammad Ibrahim, Chris Rodriguez, Tyler Beatty. If you had to bet right now on who that third guy is who makes it into that top three from that group, who do you think it would be?
Does it have to be from that group, or can it be?
Well, Trevor, I've only said it twice, and no, I asked the question initially on Wednesday.
Well, no. Well, now I'm extra clarifying because you said Breece Hall and Isaiah Spiller, right?
Yes.
And there's another running back that we talked about not on Wednesday that I think would be like another top 40 player. But you want me to pick if there had to be one from the Wednesday group? Is this the point of the exercise?
Right. Basically, I was saying, like, in my head, I was just saying, like, yeah, like, you know, there are the top guys are drafted whenever. And then there's one player that we talked about on Wednesday who makes it into the top. Who is that player?
Probably Zamir White. Yeah. I mean, that's who I would bet on. Zamir White, I have other players from day three who I have ranked higher than Zamir White, but that's because I have some long-term potential health concerns with what Zamir White's able to do. But like, if Zamir White has an incredible year coming up, he's obviously got the baseline of athleticism that the NFL would want to covet into a top 40 player. So if I had to bet on one of them, I think I would bet on Zamir White.
Yeah, I would also be betting on Zamir White.
Okay.
He would be my answer.
Well, there we go. Thanks for listening to the podcast, everybody. This is why you tuned in.
Thank goodness you saved that until today.
Yeah, gave people a reason to download it, Ben. We're 4 minutes in. This counts as a hard download.
It automatically when you're subscribed.
This counts as a hard download and listen. We're 4 minutes and 30 seconds into the podcast.
Well done.
Okay.
We have bamboozled them.
Who you... Yeah. Foiled again. Who do you have at number five here in this running back group?
Number five for me is Kyren Williams, the rising.
Oh, baby.
Yeah. Redshirt sophomore.
Oh, baby.
Out of Notre Dame.
You've got him at five?
A very likable player. Listen.
Oh, baby.
Let me make things very clear. I hate my rankings so much. They're wrong. Okay? All right. A very likable player. Well-rounded. Very, very high ceiling. One of the highest ceilings in this class because of the three-down ability. He's a clear pass catcher and a clear pass protector. As of right now, I think he needs more maturation as a pure runner. Mm-hmm. And I do think that athletically he is a NFL caliber back, but he's not anything particularly eye-popping. With another year of experience, and obviously, you know, the Notre Dame offensive line lost a lot of talent, so it's going to be important for him to also get the blocking that he got last year into this year. But with another year of experience and maturation, I fully expect him to be able to come up higher on this ranking. I'd like to see that, and I anticipate seeing that. But I haven't seen it yet. So at this stage, he's number five for me.
Well, this actually kind of works out well because the number five for me is Sincere McCormick, the UTSA running back who I described as similar in style to Kyren Williams, just almost
said, your words exactly were, he's the exact same as Kyren Williams in every single way. That's what you said.
That's not what I said. That is not what I said. I said that he is very similar to Kyren Williams in a lot of ways, but I don't think that he presents you with the high points in athleticism that I believe Kyren Williams has. Now, you and I, when we went over Kyren Williams on the Monday edition of the podcast, we saw his athleticism a little bit differently. I believe in it more than you do, but that's kind of some similar issues that I had with other guys. So, you know, there are times when you could just watch a guy on tape, and maybe if it's the first time you're getting eyes on him, sometimes the athleticism is a little bit deceiving. You think it's there, or you really want to believe it's there, and maybe it's not. So I fully believe in Kyren Williams' athleticism. I think that he's been able to put it on tape, but when it comes to Sincere McCormick, I feel like he's that same similar style of build. He's about 5'9", 200 pounds. He carries a little bit more on him, and I think that you could see that when it comes to contact balance and getting yards after contact. But three-star recruit, goes to UTSA, didn't play much his first year. This past year, they gave him the full load, and holy cow, did he deliver. About 250 carries and over 1,400 yards on the ground. So very excited to see him in another year. If he can continue that production, then I think that we're talking about a really solid running back at the next level. I think he brings a good mentality to pass blocking and pass catching, although I still don't think he is as impactful in those areas as Kyren Williams was. He just follows that same kind of mold. So it actually probably makes sense that if you have Kyren Williams there, that I have a guy who I see similar to Kyren Williams at number five because, well, Williams is a lot higher on my ranking. So that's why I have him number five.
Yeah. I think we're just going to, I thought I was going to like Sincere McCormick more than you. And I just very much do not. Well, your guy.
I feel like it totally makes sense because I like Kyren Williams more than you. So this is, right. This is very on brand for the conversation that we've had this week.
Well, my number four is Tyler Allgeier, the running back out of BYU.
Oh, see, I didn't watch enough of him.
Yeah.
So, okay, here we go.
Very, 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 very big comp. No, I'm not doing that again.
I love this podcast so much.
Imagine, I think about this all the time. Imagine, like I was just like in Phoenix with like a bunch of friends, right? And like, you know, people who like, you know, I've met a couple years ago and I haven't seen since and whatever. And like, oh, it's so good to see you again. What are you up to? Yada yada. Like, oh yeah, I cover the NFL. I'm like, really? I'm like, yeah. Like, and you do podcasts? Like, yeah. And like, oh wow. Like, what's your podcast? I'm like, Locked On NFL Draft. And they're like, oh, I'm gonna listen. In my head, I'm always like, you really think I'm freaking weird, man? Because none of it's gonna make any sense to you if you just
the first podcast they're gonna listen to is Wednesday's episode when you comp Tyler out. To Nick Chubb, and they're just gonna unsubscribe on the spot.
Just like, yeah, like it's a football podcast. We talk about football, and that's it. And we talk about football in very regular ways. And don't worry about it; it's fine. It's all gonna be exactly as you expect. So yes, Tyler Allgeier, running back out of BYU, who I like a great deal. I think he's got surprising and I would say unique movement skills for a 5'10", 220 pounder. Really, really impressive ability to change his stride length, to change his angles with the ground. and to be able to make those slight cuts you don't expect a big guy to be able to make, then he can still finish his runs with power, and he still has, in my opinion, linear burst and explosiveness as well. So I have a full athleticism profile, executed the outside zone behind that really talented BYU offensive line so very well. Very adept at finding that early cut back, very adept at making that first guy miss. How much of that is a system that is just so beneficial to runners at the NFL and even now we're seeing at the college level? I'm not sure, and I'd be lying if I said that didn't worry me. So I have him here at 4, and that's about as high as I was willing to send him, but I also do think that, you know, it could look very foolish, especially as that offensive line is a little bit worse. You know, their offensive coordinator, their offensive line coach are both now at Baylor, and so things could change, and it could be, you know, made a lot more clear that Algier was more so a product of his environment. It's a little bit of a heat check ranking, but I'm okay with it. I do trust my eyes on the way that he moves, and I think that that's going to hold up. And so I have Tyler Algier at 4. Main thing I want to see from him upcoming in this season is do exactly what you did last season, this season, under more difficult circumstances, different quarterback, different coordinator, new offensive lineman, but do it again. And if so, yeah, that's top 5 back.
Yeah, and I mean, even I feel like Tyler Algier, even from the little bit that I've seen, I watched him a game of him this summer for this exercise, but I also saw plenty of him when I was watching Zach Wilson. This might be a little bit more of a long-term experiment with him because let's just say you see him and his unique movement skills at his size, as you mentioned, in an ideal situation when he has a good offensive coordinator, a good offensive line coach, a good offensive line, and Zach Wilson with him. You know, maybe this year he takes a step back, but it's not like those movement skills went away with him. And so maybe there's also a chance that the other way around happens. And he does take a little bit of a step back in production and what he's able to do. And a lot of people get lower on him. And then he goes to a really good situation in the NFL. And you get to see that stuff again because the situation's not nearly as bare. And, you know, that's an area where, like I said, it's a long-term experiment as you look at him. And you go, man, I saw that early on, and that might be a little bit of a scouting lesson saying, you know, if you're in similar shoes that Ben is in, if you guys out there have watched Tyler Algier, you might be able to say, man, I trusted my eyes the first time I saw him. I doubted it when the production kind of went away, but now you see him in that similar kind of situation and he's actually thriving. So this might be a good little test here for some scouting principles and I guess scouting eyes a little bit with what might happen with Algier.
I just want him to be good. That's my main thing. Just be good. Don't have to worry about any lessons. Just be really good.
So now we're at the point in my rankings where 1 through 4, I'm very comfortable talking about. Like, I'm comfortable getting to these guys and praising them enough to, you know, like anybody who's in on them or anybody who even doubts them, I feel like I've got some counters here and there relative to where I have them ranked. Number 4 for me is Isaiah Spiller, the running back out of Texas A&M.
Ooh.
I like Spiller, but he is one of those players who I wonder if he just has a little bit of a cap in athleticism. Now, he's 6 foot one, 220, 225 pounds. So like, he's a big dude, and his calling card is being a big dude. But I did appreciate the fact that he was not just this brute runner who would put his head down and become a battering ram the second he touched the football. No, he was looking for different kinds of space. He'd put his foot in the ground. He'd give you a little bit of a wiggle for whatever his bigger body would be able to give you. The thing that I was looking for more for Spiller is I think that him in the NFL, I feel like he can be a great complementary back in a 1-2 system. I think he can be the Thunder to a Thunder and Lightning kind of a tandem. But in order for that to really be the case, got to get better at the third down stuff. He's got to be better at pass blocking. He's got to be better at pass catching. And I think that those are still two areas where he's really raw as a player. I like him as a runner. I think he brings you a little bit more agility than you would think. And I think he gives you some decent straight line speed. If you want to believe in him a lot, like I said at the beginning of the week, go watch the LSU game. But the LSU game, I feel like he had a lot of runs that were blocked perfectly. He got into wide open space. LSU did not handle their run fits very well. And when you do see teams fit him a little bit better, I at least felt like you noticed some of that stiffness and just lack of rare athleticism from him. Now, that's not to say that he can't be a good pro. I just didn't see him as a for sure first round running back kind of a player when I was watching him this week. So I like him. I see the role in the NFL, and I think it's a useful role, but I did have my reservations.
Spiller's my number 3.
What a perfect transition.
But you already said everything, so now it's like, you know, a retweet.
Oh, wow. Right, thanks, bud. Thanks for the engagement, pal.
I think that I think we view Spiller as a similar player. We view him similarly. I'm a little bit more confident in the athletic ability, a little bit more confident in the movement skills, in tight areas, ability to glance off of tackles, make angles trickier, that sort of stuff. I think we agree that in the open field, right, it's not really going to be where he dominates, where he makes his money. But I think that I have a little bit more faith in him there. Not sure if we're going to get the chance to see him be any sort of a pass catcher. I'd be curious to see what Jimbo Fisher's running backs in Florida State did in terms of numbers, but that offense is just not, it doesn't help backs get catches out of the backfield inherently. And then throw in the fact that Aeneas Smith is there as well, which we didn't talk about him because he's kind of like a running back wide receiver hybrid, but
he's
holy smokes, he's freaking good.
Yeah, he's really good.
That's going to make it tricky for Spill to get those targets. He needs to be better in pass protection. It's not a problem right now, but it could be better. It should be better for his size, and that's where he's going to make his hay in the passing game. So, you know, quickness and increased explosiveness, all that will help, but get your pass protection done as well. As a runner, he's pro-ready. Anything he can add in terms of athleticism just going to be cherries on top.
Before we get to my number three running back in this class, got to remind people that BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. You can get all of the latest news, odds, info for all of your sporting needs, whether it's baseball, football, hockey, basketball, UFC, MMA, whatever it is, BetOnline's got you. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to really get into the action. Head over to their website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on whatever your first deposit is if you use the promo code LOCKEDON. All one word, all caps, locked on. BetOnline, your online sports book experts. This episode is also brought to you by the fine folks over at rockauto.com. There's no sense in going to your local auto parts store anymore because you know that the second you walk in the door, you tell them exactly what you need, they're just going to order it on the computer. They don't have it in the store. There's a good chance they don't have it in the store unless you call ahead and you make sure that they've got it, which is extra work for you anyways. Just go to rockauto.com and order it yourself. You're going to be able to get the part right there. It's the same prices for do-it-yourselfers as it is all the professionals. Their website's super easy to navigate. You'll be able to see all the parts that they have for your car or truck. Just go to the website, rockauto.com, look on the left-hand side. You'll be able to find it very, very easily. If you do end up talking to them, because they got great customer service as well, if you can't exactly find what you're looking for, I guarantee that they can either get it for you or get you in pointed to a direction where you can get the part. If you talk to them, just let them know that Locked On NFL Draft sent you. We'd really, really appreciate it. Amazing, amazing selection. They got reliably low prices and all the car parts you were ever going to need over at rockauto.com. Number three for me.
Okay.
Former Tennessee Volunteer. Current Oklahoma Sooner. I almost threw you a curveball and just started to explain Ty Chandler there. It's Eric Gray. Eric Gray is a fantastic running back prospect, man. I think that he has areas of his game that he needs to grow when it comes to patience and just reading things, maybe not going 100% at all times. But I also, you know, I say that and I'm a little hesitant to it because one of the things that we talked about when we brought up Eric Gray on the Tuesday episode is we appreciate how incredible he is at full speed. How it just seems like he's making the right decisions. He's able to chop his feet when he's going down the field north to south. He's able to make so many impressive cuts when he's going at full speed. And he's got a lot of athleticism to it. So that full speed with Eric Gray, I mean, that's really saying something. I just think that he needs to see a little bit more patience in what he's doing, understand the blocking around him a little bit better, be a little bit more, slow it down when it's needed. I think that that's an important trait of being a running back, and that's really all I've got to see from Gray. I mean, I feel like he's got the athletic ability in a lot of the other areas of the game. Of course, you can fine-tune the disciplined areas and techniques and things like that, especially when it comes to third-down responsibilities as well. But when it comes to natural athletic talent, the ceiling as a running back, as a weapon out of the backfield, Eric Gray is going to present you with a pretty dang high ceiling. And I think that there's a chance that, you know, he's going to be in the conversation for perhaps the top back in this class, especially now going to an offense in Oklahoma where he's going to rack up the stats.
Mm-hmm. It's very nice because you had Isaiah Spiller 4, and then I had him at 3. So I got to talk about him. And then you had Eric Gray 3, and then at 2... I have Breece Hall. I was running back out of Iowa State and is really, really good. And I would have told you on Monday that I probably wasn't going to have anybody ranked higher than him, but I do. Breece is a special mind for the position. Not the sort of guy, visions-wise, read-wise, play-style-wise, that we see come out every single year. The way that he's going to be able to set up blocks is very, very nice in terms of his pro translation. You're going to be able to play him in a lot of different blocking schemes. You're gonna be able to give him a full gamut too. If you end up with a team that wants to run a lot of different stuff, he's gonna be successful in doing that. Understands how to work his path, understands how to work his pace to get the angles that he needs, to get the alleys that he needs, and then he's able to hit those with burst. Doesn't have the same long speed problems that other guys have that we've talked about. Isn't the fastest, but I think he can get it done in the open field. Very active offhand, able to survive with contact balance. Is a little bit taller, more upright than you usually see from runners who are able to survive contact like that. But he's got such nice anticipation and such nice feel for space that he's able to get away with it. And then elusiveness in the open field, again, not something that is as much of a problem as it is for other runners in this class. Wouldn't say it's his strength, wouldn't say that he's a lead there in any capacity, but he gets the job done. Throw in the fact that he was more involved in the passing game as a pass catcher than a lot of these other top backs as well. And he's a very clear, very easy top guy for me. And that's why I say that my top tier, which is these two players, Breece Hall, and then he who cannot be named as number one. Yeah, those guys to me are very clear the top guys in this class. I wouldn't be surprised if somebody else joins them at the top. I'd be surprised if they fall out of the top because they both have, in my opinion, high floors given the way they currently play. But just for right now, I have Breece at two. And I'm very open to that changing, but that's where I sit right now.
I also have Breece Hall at number
two. Gotta relax, man. This is nuts.
I told you we were gonna have some fun. Breece Hall's good. I like Breece Hall a lot. You and I mentioned how rare it is for a player in college football to have the kind of understanding of just ball carrier vision. And how the flow of the game is going the second it snapped, 2 seconds into the play, 3 seconds into the play. He just has such a calm... Yeah, for the fifth. He just has such a calm and confident demeanor to him. Now, I feel like, myself included, people often have a tendency to see patience as a runner and fall for it. Be like, ooh, he's so patient.
Yes, agree.
And it ends up being a detriment to them because they don't get on their horse and go. They don't put their foot in the ground to get up the field, and it just doesn't happen fast enough. And so that's why it's interesting that I have two different players, Eric Gray and Breece Hall, who are so very different, right? I mean, Breece Hall feels like he's moving in slow-mo sometimes, and Eric Gray seems like he's the Flash, you know? But you can, I think, appreciate both styles of running. My biggest area of concern with Breece Hall is I just wonder if the total overall athleticism is there. When you have the patience, even if you read the right spot, if you get through the line of scrimmage the exact way that you need to, do you have the juice to get through the line, get up and go find the open space? Does Breece Hall have that? And if he does, then I think he's going to be a really damn good running back in the NFL. If not, then I feel like it's going to be forgotten because a lot of these really, really efficient runs that he has in the Big 12 in college football right now, those go away when you get to the pro level if you don't have the athleticism, if he's not the NFL caliber athlete to do it. So I really appreciate his approach to the game. I think he has a very mature way of playing the running back position for a college player, and I appreciate that a lot. That's why he's high on my list, but... Yeah, it's an overall athleticism thing. That's what I'm going to be watching very closely for this season.
I can't believe you have Kyren Williams number one, man.
I didn't say Kyren Williams.
I'm here to tell you, you have Kyren Williams number one.
I didn't say that.
It is known.
I didn't say that.
That's healthy, man.
Who do you have number one?
Eric Gray. Really, really good player.
He is.
I don't mind the urgency too much because he's so good, as we talked about, I think, at reacting to and working through moves in the first level and into the second level. He has the ability to work that Euro step, work that dead leg. He's got such a great ability to maintain velocity through cuts, through multiple cuts So when he's working backside on you ball game, I mean, it's over. He's got, as I described, I think he's much more so an angle breaker than he is a tackle breaker. So it's like, oh, his yards after contact numbers aren't going to be nuts. Nobody can put a hand on him. He just has this ability to embarrass you in what feels like tight areas. But for him, there's just such a wide range of motion that he's able to achieve. He can just get spaces you're not ready for as a linebacker. When he gets to the third level, I wish he played with more urgency. He'll start trying to do that little Euro step stuff, doing that dead leg stuff. We just want to see him win a race against a safety and be faster, more physical, work that offhand, and then get that final angle. That's where you want to be able to beat pursuit. I think he needs to learn how to play with a little bit more there. I'm excited to see how much more the Oklahoma offense asks of him in the passing game, because I think that he can be really dynamic there as well behind screens, on swing patterns. You saw a little bit of that at Tennessee, but not as much as I think you could and as much I think would contribute to his rise. I think Gray is firmly on NFL radars. He's firmly on, you know, like guys like us and like, you know, the Draft Network and those radars. But I think on the national radar, you know, NFL fans would be like, yeah, upcoming running backs is like Breece Hall and then that Texas A&M kid. You know what I mean? I don't think people realize just how good of a player was languishing there in Tennessee and how well he's going to be unlocked in Oklahoma. The need for better decision making, sometimes avoiding some risky decisions, certainly is there, but I'm willing to live with that side of the sword if I get the other edge as well, because he's so dangerous with the ball in his hand. So I'm all the way in on Eric Gray. That's my guy.
High upside player. I mean, there's a lot to love about Eric Gray, as I explained with him being my number three guy. My number one dude, it's Kyren Williams out of Notre Dame.
It's healthy.
It is healthy, and I'm all right with it. I really like Kyren Williams. I don't feel like there is a big athletic downside to him, and if you put a ceiling of athleticism in front of Kyren Williams, given everything else that he does really well, give me that as RB1 going into the preseason, man, especially given the kind of mentality that he has for pass blocking and pass catching. I mean, like, he is willing to do everything that you would want him to do as a total three down player. Now, he's 5'9", 195 pounds. Will he be able to do that in the NFL the way he impressively does it in college? And I think that that is something that is a worthwhile debate. That's something that's going to divide a lot of people on Kyren Williams, because some people are just going to see him as a small running back and be like, no, he's small. He's not going to be able to do these same similar things at the pro level. Perhaps that is the case. But the way he can bounce his feet, the way he changes direction, the home run mentality he has when he gets the ball, how he goes out to the sideline, how I feel as though he is just going to continually grow when it comes to reps and repetition and how to read the line of scrimmage, how to read different defenders, how to become a better running back with better vision, even in this upcoming season with new players along the offensive line. If he continues to take a step forward as a running back, I feel like he presents you with all of the tools that you would want for a player that you are not afraid to take off the field in the NFL. And that is because, as I stated to begin this talk on Kyren Williams, I believe he has the athleticism to make it happen. So that's why I believe in him.
If everything can catch up to the pass protection, he's going to be such a uniquely cool player.
Yep.
I'm not sure it will. Like I said, you know, we open and we're closing with the same player. I think he's going to get better. I think he's going to be better than RB5. It's a question of how much better and how much faith do I have in that happening. And right now I'd like to see it.
How about RB1, baby? Good football player. That's what this ranking's all about. We put good football players at the top.
Yeah, that's why Gray, and then Breece Hall, and then Isaiah Spiller, and then Tyler Allgeier, and then Kyren Williams.
You know, I felt like after Monday's episode, we were both going to have Breece Hall as our number one guy at the end of the
week. Yes. Or at least we both thought that we would. And which, we watched Kyren on Monday, so what the frick?
You know, I had a couple of days to really sit and think about it.
Did some meditating.
I put a lot of prayer into it, and the Lord led me here. What else can I say?
You're dumb. You said that, I was like, yeah, me too. And then I realized we watched Kyren Williams on Monday. You could have known this then.
And I liked him, and I like him more even now. He's fun.
There are even
now more than before, even.
Which was what it was then.
This is a fun running back class. I don't think it's as star studded as like
2020
with Edwards-Helaire and Jonathan Taylor and DeAndre Swift and all those guys.
Five players in the first 55 picks, right? Including Cam Akers, which hope Cam gets healthy quick, man.
Big sad. There were a lot of really, really good players in that class, and they were picked deservedly so in the first and second round. A lot of guys in that early second round range. Not so sure we're going to get that kind of a number from this class, but there are plenty of players who I think could shape out committees and players who can carve out starting roles for themselves. A lot of players to get excited about to watch carry the ball this upcoming football season in college football. Tomorrow, it's everybody's favorite day of the week. It is Fan Friday. Get your questions into myself on Twitter, at Tampa Bay Trey. Ben on Twitter, at Benjamin Solak, although he currently does not have access to his Twitter account.
Don't so want
to
talk about it.
If you only tag Ben, he's not going to see it, which means just give me all the engagement and tweet at me. Thank you. My future dopamine thanks you. If you're on the premium Slack channel, I'll see that as well, or on Instagram, at Tampa Bay Trey. You can hit me up there, too. We're going to try to give you a full hour, maybe even a little bit more of Fan Friday because we missed last week. But either way, we know that you guys are going to bring the great questions. Until then, you guys keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.